content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault with the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the March 2021 issue of Lion Magazine, now online. We're going to start today with our president's message titled, Feel the Energy. Greetings, Lions. In Busan, March is the time of the year when everything starts to warm up just a little. Animals come out of their dens, birds venture farther from their nests, and people begin strolling around the streets, enjoying the reprieve from a long winter. There is an energy in the air as everything begins to come back to life, even in these challenging times. It was and still is a time when I feel a renewed sense of purpose as a lion. While there are plenty of constitutional areas that are not entering spring, there is still much to get energized about, even if you are in a different season. I see clubs that have already been doing remarkable work in 2021. Clubs helping to organize vaccination programs, clubs feeding the hungry, and clubs actively recruiting members through innovative projects and hard work. No matter what the weather, I can feel the energy of lions everywhere. As always, I am forever grateful and proud to be a lion. I'm excited to see what the rest of the year will hold. Sincerely, Dr. Zhong Yul Choi, International President of Lions Clubs International. Next, we're going to move over to our Global Service Department, beginning in the United States with small desks make a big difference. Lions discover that a lot of kids need a place to study. When the Agawam Lions in Massachusetts authorized funds to build 20 desks for students schooling from home, cautious members wondered if they'd be lucky to give that many away. But even an experienced lion can underestimate the power of a good service project. That was on December 8th of 2020. 3 months later, 231 desks have been built and delivered to children, and the Lions wrapped up their successful no-cost student desk program. The demand for them really blew us away, says Lion Dick Lanier, who has a home workshop and inadvertently became project leader and spokesman. We opened a can of worms, he said. After the December meeting, Lanier's daughter, Lion Cheryl Terramagra, posted the club's new project on their Facebook page, asking if someone had a child who needed a desk for remote learning. By the next morning, she had 157 requests. Lanier began putting in eight-hour days in his woodworking shop, building desks of pine and plywood. Others, including inspired non-lions, did the same, spending hours alone in their shops under COVID gathering restrictions, but confident they were helping children who might otherwise be studying at the kitchen table, a coffee table, their bed, or on the floor. We feel really good about the project, says Lanier. It was a boon to our students who are in remote and hybrid learning. Feedback from educators and parents clearly states that these desks were transformational to so many students in their sometimes chaotic learning experiences. The change has been dramatic for some who were really struggling. The Agawam Lions got the idea for desks from a former member who moved to California and saw on TV that an Auburn host lion was building desks for kids. She shared the news with her old club. Lion Mike Hackenjoes, president of the Crete, Illinois Lions, also saw the news and decided to support his community by building desks in his workshop. With help from fellow Lions and non-Lion friends, they built 50 desks for local school children. Hackenjoes and Lanier connected online to swap design ideas, and Agawam Lion Frank Terramagra optimized the design so builders could get four desks from one sheet of 4x8 plywood and 5 2x4s with little or no waste. Those plans are now posted on the Agawam Lions and the Crete Lions Facebook pages. Although labor was free, materials are not. The Agawam Lions received financial support from numerous private donors, as well as a $3,800 donation from Home Depot to cover the cost of wood, says Lanier, who stresses the importance of getting the community involved in projects. Kindergarten teacher Cindy Yaversky in Crete has seen the same need for community support. A teacher for 30 years at the Crete Elementary School, she has watched families struggle through the pandemic, and six or more of her students joyfully received desks in Crete, she says. Not only were the children grateful, but their parents and grandparents were as well. One woman was caring for six grandchildren who each needed a quiet place to study. It's an amazing idea, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger, Yaversky said. It's really important. In Agawam, Lanier says club members were so moved by the project that they are now establishing their district's first branch club to focus exclusively on children and their families. We will be picking up many new members who wish to be part of our culture to better serve our community, especially our younger population, says Lanier. These are very exciting times for us, all a result of the success of the desk project and our newfound focus on the needs of our community. Don't know where this is going, but we are on a roll. And another story from our Global Service Department, also from the United States, sharing the bounty. There's no reason why a juicy orange, a tangy lemon, or a tasty tangerine should be left on a tree when it could help feed people in need. That's the reasoning behind a citrus gleaning project spearheaded by the Phoenix Asian American Lions Club in District 21N in Phoenix, Arizona. There is quite a bit of fruit that we glean, says Maribel Dillard, charter president for Phoenix Lions Without Borders 2020-21 and Phoenix Asian American Lions, Leos, and Cubs 2015-2016. The gleaning got going in 2018 when one of the club's members moved into Veritas Groves, a senior community in Mesa, and noticed that elderly residents needed help picking the fruit from trees on each of their properties and in the common areas. The club saw an opportunity and took up the challenge. Over the past few years, from about January through March, the club has picked a total of about 4,000 pounds of fruit each season that is donated to local food pantries. We are able to save citrus fruits from about 544 trees that otherwise would go to waste or just be thrown into a landfill, Dillard says. The club has a system for tackling the 544 trees that need picking. It starts with Dillard making a map of where to pick based on residents' input. Residents put up a sign on their lawn that lets us know whether to pick or not, Dillard says. They ask us to leave some fruit on their doorstep for them, and we also leave some for the people in the community. Anything more, and there is a lot of it, goes to food pantries such as the one operated by ICNA Relief, a nonprofit that provides food for 10,000 individuals a month. It's a good supplement for their diets, and it comes fresh from the trees, says Selena Imam, director of programs for Arizona for ICNA Relief. Volunteers gather to glean every weekend and every other Friday. It takes a team of about a dozen volunteers 6 hours to remove all the fruit from five trees. For any other Lions Club considering a citrus gleaning project, Dillard recommends having a checklist of what is needed. It is important to have the right tools, citrus pickers, ladders, buckets, gloves, masks, sunscreen, and safety glasses, PPE, for all the volunteers on location, she says. Also, provide snacks and water for the volunteers and have a bathroom available for them to use. She also starts each picking sessions with a discussion about safety and names a lead person who is responsible for any emergencies on site. The gleaning project appeals to volunteers of all ages, from about 7 or 8 years old to people in their 80s. Other Lions clubs and members of the community have also volunteered to glean. The project has been a success on many different levels, especially this year because many snowbirds aren't coming to Arizona due to the pandemic and their trees, without the help of the Lions, would go unpicked. It's a great feeling to know that this act of kindness is helping the elderly and is saving the environment, Dillard says. Most importantly, she adds, it means we can give fresh fruit to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford it. And up next, we got from our LCIF Impact Department, coming to us from Liberia, an article titled Uncovering a Bright New World for the People in Liberia. Receiving eye care in Liberia can be difficult. There are only 6 ophthalmologists in the entire country, all working in the capital of Monrovia. Only 2 of the ophthalmologists regularly perform cataract surgery. As cataracts are the main cause of blindness, 60%, and severe visual impairment, about 62% in Liberia, this shortage is causing mass avoidable blindness. With a $486,000 Sight First grant from LCIF, Lions are aiming to change the reality of those statistics by training more ophthalmologists, creating more opportunities for Liberians to access quality eye care. The project established Liberia's first ophthalmology residency program at the Liberia Eye Center, also known as LEC, a clinic constructed and equipped through a Sight First grant in 2016. Thus far, 6 ophthalmologists have begun training and are providing eye care services, with 3 more ophthalmologists scheduled to start training in the coming year. These are just a few stories of LEC beneficiaries LCIF and Lions have helped through Sight First grants. In the first one, he says, I can see. His name is Reverend Benjamin Bangaroo, a 64-year-old school teacher who couldn't see clearly enough to identify people and things or to write clearly on his classroom's chalkboard. Often struggling with misspellings and poor handwriting, Mr. Bangaroo became insecure and even started to feel incompetent. He felt he couldn't properly teach his students anymore. Upon examination at LEC, Mr. Bangaroo had a cataract covering the entire lens of his right eye. A short time later, he underwent surgery to have the cataract removed, completely transforming his life. I can see. The word on the door is exit, he told his doctors. I can see your faces. Everything is so bright. It looks like I have entered a different world. Mr. Bangaroo shouted with excitement and happiness he just could not contain. He could finally see clearly. He could finally go back to loving his profession and feeling confident in his work. The next one, I am happy. Maran, a 14-year-old girl, was having trouble at school. To see the chalkboard, she had to move to the front of the class. But even if I sit in front, I can't see all the writing, says Maran. I have to use my friend's notebook to complete my notes. Hearing of the new eye team at LEC, Maran's mother took her for an examination. The doctor quickly discovered all Maran needed was a simple pair of glasses. After trying on a pair of lenses, Maran was beaming. I am happy because I can see far away now, says Maran. I will not disturb my friends or need to sit in the front anymore. And our last story, Musu's story. Another little girl, Musu, had been struggling to see for years until doctors at LEC discovered that the lens in her right eye was significantly displaced. Her doctors performed surgery to remove the lens and gave Musu eyeglasses to compensate. With the troublesome lens gone and new eyeglasses, Musu could finally see clearly. She gained 70% of her vision back. Excited about her new abilities, she told her doctors she aspires to go to school to become a nurse. LCIF's Sight First program is changing the lives of people in Liberia and across the world. To learn more, you can visit lionsclubs.org/savevision. And here's one of our feature articles for today, titled Power, Peace, and Purpose. Martial arts help kids to kick cancer. As an 11-year-old boy fighting cancer in 1999, Michael Hunt learned many lessons. One has been unforgettable. Breathe in the light. Blow out the darkness. Hunt was a patient at Children's Hospital of Michigan when he was given the chance to be one of 10 children in Rabbi Elimelech Goldberg's first karate class for kids with cancer. Although he has been cancer-free for more than 20 years now, he never left the organization or forgot what the rabbi taught him as he struggled through years of surgeries and pain. A second-degree black belt in Taekwondo, Hunt is a martial arts therapist, having worked for Goldberg's nonprofit, Kids Kicking Cancer, since 2005. He teaches martial arts classes to sick children in person and online, visits children in hospitals, does support meetings with teens on Zoom, and plans events for families of children with cancer. There is no cost to children or to families. Goldberg, or Rabbi G, as he is best known, is a black belt and a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics who lost his first child to leukemia at the age of 2. The small nonprofit program he began in Detroit 22 years ago is now global, reaching more than 7,000 children in 8 states and 5 countries. Because of the pandemic, all classes are now virtual, but the good news to that is that it opens the doors of Kids Kicking Cancer to children and families around the world. Children can Zoom into as many classes as they wish. Among the organization's supporters are the Lions of Michigan. Through a grant from the Graymont Community and Economic Development Fund and local fundraising efforts in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, karate students receive free uniforms and a backpack. Club donations also contribute to summer camp for kids and supplies. "The respect I have for Kids Kicking Cancer is immense," says Chris Smith, a Lion in Michigan's Engadine Knobbenway Club and Childhood Cancer Chair for Single District 10. "Their philosophy to empower and teach children to take control over their disease and to be role models for others is amazing. Children are taught to see themselves as victors, not victims. This is so powerful. As parents, we want to take the pain away for our children, but we cannot do that. This program helps them have the inner strength to do that." Although students learn traditional karate moves, they focus on the mind-body techniques of meditation, breathing, relaxation, and visualization to dramatically lower pain levels. They learn to breathe in the light, the energy, what gives them joy, and to blow out their pain, anger, frustration, fear, and stress. "There is no body-to-body contact and no board breaking in class," says Hunt. "If health concerns restrict one child in a class from punching a pad or doing a kick, the class plan changes for everyone. A child is never made to feel left out." He knows the importance of that from personal experience, recalling the years in school when he was in treatment and prohibited from taking part in any physical activity. "I couldn't go to the gym or go out to play. I was in the main office while the other kids were running around and playing outside. It was like I was being punished," he says. "I always loved the martial arts, but at home, every time I asked to take a class, the answer was no. So I had to sit plopped in front of the TV or reading." One day, his social worker suggested he try a new karate class for kids with cancer that was starting at the hospital. It was day one for Rabbi G and day one for Michael Hunt. "I was hooked," Hunt says. Kids Kicking Cancer has since grown to help all children with serious illness and pain. For their families, it provides friendship and a connection with others facing the same struggles. "These are people who won't ask you a lot of questions because they already know," Hunt tells the parents. "They know because they are going through the same thing." At home, the children will teach their parents and siblings about power, peace, and purpose, three key words learned on the first day of class. Students discover that they have the power of being a martial artist, the peace that comes from the focused breathing and meditation, and the purpose they find in their lives when they share what they've learned. Empowerment, says Hunt, is one of the most helpful aspects of the program as each child becomes a teacher to others. At the end of class, their teacher asks, "What is your purpose?" The students yell out with gusto, "To teach the world." They would be doing a disservice to themselves and everyone around the world if they kept hold of this tool and didn't share it with anybody, says Hunt. It changed my life. And next, I want to share a couple of articles from our In the News department, starting with Christmas tree sales surge. One bit of good news ended our pandemic year. Sales of live Christmas trees on Lyons lots were brisk as families looked for safe outdoor holiday activities and ways to keep spirits up. For the Lyons clubs with tree lots, more sales meant more money for community projects in 2021. According to the Michigan Christmas Tree Association, Michigan tree farmers saw as much as a 50% increase in their sales of Christmas trees this year. The Dexter Lyons in Michigan were among them. Sales were at record levels, says Dexter Club President Jamie Lobdell. We have been selling Christmas trees here in Dexter for 40 years. Our club started in 1980 in front of a local gas station with 285 trees. This year's sales at the Dexter Club's lot included 1,240 Christmas trees, 150 wreaths, 3,000 feet of pine roping, and it was quick. In Maryland, the Bowie Lions Club sold all of their trees in 13 days, something that's never happened before. Lion Carl Tashberg told the Baltimore Sun. Tashberg, the chairman of the tree lot, said they started selling trees the Sunday before Thanksgiving and were selling 20 to 30 trees each day. The same good news extended across the country. From West Virginia to Illinois and beyond, Lyons reported that trees disappeared in the wink of an eye. The COVID-19 pandemic curtailed many holiday traditions, but as the Worth Lyons in Illinois said, it wouldn't stop them from selling Christmas trees, something that they've been doing to raise money for charitable causes for more than 60 years. Another article, annual Leo Video Contest showcases young talent. The Binan Lions Leo Club, in the Philippines is this year's top winner of the annual Leo Video Contest. It is the sixth year of the annual contest, which celebrates the many varieties of Leos and their service projects since the inception of the Leo Club program 63 years ago. This year, Leos were asked to show how they served safely, stayed connected, and inspired others with this year's theme, hashtag Hope Connects. There were a total of 53 submissions from 22 countries, with videos representing all constitutional areas. The public voting page was visited by people in 100 countries, and the top 10 videos received more than 12,000 public votes. This year's winners were announced on December 5th, which is International Leo Day. First place was the Binan Leo Club in the Philippines. Second place was the Tucunduva Leo Club from Brazil. And third place was the SMK Bulo Kasap Leo Club from Malaysia. The Binan Leos earned the $1,000 prize with their video about helping school children in their community access the internet. The Binan Lions believe that with education comes hope. The Leos addressed their community's lack of internet access for students reliant on remote learning during the pandemic. Because fewer than half the students have steady internet access, the Leos started the Sandata Para Sa Escuela Weapon for School project. With a $2,000 grant raised by the, with the $2,000 raised by the Binan Leos and their Lion sponsors, they were able to donate multiple Wi-Fis and a school year's data cost for eight public schools in their community. Students who had to go to neighbors for internet can now focus on their studies while staying safely in their homes. Second place in the $500 prize went to the Tucunduva Leo Club in Brazil. Leos worked with the sponsoring Brazil Lions to support construction of a new hospital ward to care for the elderly in the city hospital. With virtual campaigns and communication between Leos and Lions, the Leos learned that they could continue to help the community during the pandemic, and that the common hope for a better world is what connects them with their sponsoring Lions. For third place, the SMK Bulo Kasap Leos received $250. With the help of the Lions of Segamat Jaya, they raised money by selling sanitized, individually wrapped towels to support their community's non-governmental dialysis center that provides free dialysis to patients who cannot afford it. The difference between hope and dreams is when you have hope, you need to have the courage, the commitment, and the action, says SMK Bulo Kasap Leo Iman Pang in the video made by his club. Without action, it's only a dream. And I think we have some time for some club news. We're going to start with the Almaguin Highland Lions Club sponsoring a snowman contest in Ontario to support local business and encourage families to get outside and have some winter fun. Families were asked to build a snowman and post a picture of it on the club's Facebook page. Five winners were based on the number of Facebook likes they received, got gift certificates to local businesses. The Lions Clubs of Pawtucket Incorporated in Rhode Island mailed 54 pandemic relief checks to targeted Pawtucket families. Checks ranging from $500 to $530 U.S. dollars were made possible by a grant from the Pawtucket Lions Memorial Foundation Incorporated, the nonprofit charitable arm of the club. The Lions were assisted in efforts to identify families in need by area social, religious, and governmental agencies in hopes that the funds will make a positive impact on their recipients' lives. The Portage Lions in Michigan collected items for Bags of Love, a community project benefiting children whose lives have been disrupted through crises. A Bag of Love serves as a security blank, but also provides the children with age-appropriate items such as clothing, toiletries, and toys they can call their own. The Foothill Lions Club in Ontario launched their drive-through meals program, starting with breakfast with a side of Santa in late November. This inaugural drive-through was a pilot event, and more than 165 breakfasts were served by members of the Fonthill Lions and Lioness Clubs. Their second meal was a chicken dinner in mid-January. In New Jersey, the Hackensack Lions, led by their club vice president, Leo Battaglia, delivered a second batch of restaurant gift cards to St. Anthony of Padua Church in Hackensack to provide food assistance to those who are struggling in this economy. And finally, the Dryden Trillium Lions Clubs in Ontario wrapped up their plastic bag challenge, challenging area schools to collect plastic bags. St. Joseph's School took the top spot with 18,650 bags, and overall, roughly 50,780 plastic bags were collected, and the Lions thanked all of those who helped keep that plastic out of the landfill. And unfortunately, we have run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine, but be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. And if you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, 919-832-5138. Have a great day.